So I know there's many who can play this little word association with me. If I say Alan Funt, you say Candid Camera, Candid Camera. Candid Camera was a show that was on TV. I remember my dad used to love to watch Candid Camera. And there is these cameras, and they would catch people doing embarrassing things. And aren't we all really glad that there's not a camera there for our kind of less than stellar moments in life? The whole world would laugh at some of the things that we have done. But there was one episode or one clip that was really showing the human propensity, the human nature to kind of conform or to follow. And what it was they had cameras outside of an elevator in a business building. And there was one man who was the one who was not in on it. And the elevator's door opened, and in walks four people. But instead of looking at the doors, because that's how we ride an elevator, right? We look at the doors. Instead of looking at the doors, they all turned around and looked at the back of the elevator. And the camera zooms in on the guy's face, and he's a little nervous, and he kind of, you know, just kind of slowly works his way until sure enough he's looking. And then when the elevator doors open again, you see his back. And so there's another one that comes in, and the same four actors come walking in. And this time, instead of just facing the back, they face left. And the person's kind of looking at them and kind of slowly starts to conform. They even had one guy who had a hat on, and they had four gentlemen walk in with the hat, and then at the same time, all the other four took off their hat. And so the man took his hat off, and then as soon as he had his hat off, there was some kind of a signal, and all the other four put theirs back on, and he put his back on. There is something about this need to conform or to follow, to fit in. If you walk down the street and there's 10 people and they're all looking up, what are you going to do? You're going to look up. There is this in us that wants us to conform. You know, we are followers, and sometimes we don't make right choices with who we're going to follow. Anyone who has ever sent a child off to college knows, I hope that this child falls in with the right group, follows the right people. We look at little Vivian, who my sermon has already put her asleep. That's my spiritual gift. If you're sleep deprived, just come to one of my sermons. You know, the prayer is that she will follow the right people. And so our sentence of truth, you're not going to have to try and glean it from this. Let me just come right out with it. The sentence of truth this day is, if we are following the wrong person or the wrong thing or the wrong ideology, then we will never experience the fruitfulness in life that God intends for us. And so we're winding down this sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount, this foundational teaching, this platform for how to live a Christ-like life. And last week we heard Jesus say, the gate is narrow, the road is hard. And we actually heard that some people were bailing on following Jesus. They had been following Jesus, but they left because, in their own words, your teaching is too hard for me. And so we continue this morning, and we realize that daily we need to choose the right path, but there are some things that take us away from the path, and sometimes it's because we're following the wrong people. So if you want to open up your pew Bibles, they're in the pew backs there. I'm in Matthew chapter 7, and I'm going to be reading verses 15 through 20. And these are the words of Jesus. He says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. If we are following the wrong thing or the wrong person, we're never going to experience the fruitfulness of life that God intends for us. And here is Jesus basically with the Sermon on the Mount saying, follow me, build your life on this teaching, and you will know the fruit of the Spirit. We know the fruit of the Spirit in the Bible: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of these are the qualities of eternal life if we follow wisely, if we choose the right leader. And as I said, it is human nature to follow. We all follow. Every single person here is following someone or something, following orders, following a diet, following a code, following a person, a regimen, following a routine. As a matter of fact, we are a follower society right now. Think about our social media, this following machine. Do you know who has the most Twitter followers of anyone in our country right now? I looked it up. I Googled it because all good sermon material comes from Google. That's what they taught me in seminary. That's a lie. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Google didn't exist yet when I was taking those courses. Katy Perry has more followers than anyone, 106 million followers. Katy Perry is leading our daughters. Do you know who's number two on that list? Justin Bieber, of course, the Biebs. Are you a believer? Justin Bieber with 104, leading our sons. Who's number three? Obama. Obama's number three with 103, and Trump is number 16 with 56 million followers. But what about Instagram? Just out of curiosity, how hip and trendy are we? How many of you have an Instagram account? Excellent, excellent. And what I like about that is that was an intergenerational hand-raising exercise. Do you know who has the most followers on Instagram? 146 million followers. That's 41 million more than Katy Perry has on Twitter. Cristiano Ronaldo, the world-famous soccer player. More people are following him to see what he has to say most often about himself. You know, I stand in awe at his skill on the soccer field, but this is a guy who is at the epitome of vanity. I mean, he has a wax figure at Madame Tussauds Wax Museum, and every time he changes his hairstyle, which, by the way, is a world event every time he changes his hairstyle, he sends his personal stylist to Madame Tussauds to make sure that his wax figure has the same hairstyle he has right now. Who are we following? Celebrities? Athletes? Who are we following? Because we're allowing them to lead us. Are we like lemmings? Do we know what lemmings are? There's that famous story that all the lemmings followed one another over the cliff. I Googled lemmings. Again, why? Because all good sermon material comes from Google. They are an angry, fierce-looking little rodent. But far too often, we're like lemmings. I remember my father saying to me during one of those really rare opportunities where maybe I made a bad decision. He said, you know, if everyone was going to jump off a cliff, would you jump too? And at 16, if there were girls running in front, probably yes, I might have. I was a follower, a lemming. But if you kind of research lemming and you go into the definition, there's a definition of this lemming phenomenon, and it is this: going along unquestioningly with popular opinion. Following along without question, parenthetically, to conform yourself. To conform yourself. You know, the Apostle Paul talked about that as he was seeing people conform themselves to things that were opposite of God's purposes, opposite of God's track. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul says very directly, "Do not conform to society, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds." Going along without question with popular opinion can be dangerous, very dangerous, especially if that person is evil or there's a force of evil behind it and it is heading us away from the way God would intend. And when we look back at world history, if we look at what's happening right now, we see that there are horrific monstrosities against humanity that are going along, and we wonder, how in the world can this happen? In the 1960s, Hitler's officers were being brought to trial for the war crimes that they had perpetrated. And we've seen enough, we've read enough, we know that there was some just monster, evil personified kind of behaviors that were being displayed there. And the people that were bringing these to trial, you know, they kind of asked the question, how in the world could human beings go along with this genocide? How in the world could they do that? And so people started to do some experiments. So let me take you back to high school or some 101 class in college. Do you remember the Milgram experiment? The Milgram experiment was this experiment, I think it was an Ivy League school that did it, that they had these test subjects come in, and they were told, they had a button in front of them, and they were told that when they pressed that button, the person on the other side of the glass was going to receive an electric shock. And as it progressed, the shocks were going to get greater and greater in their intensity. And so these people follow along, and the people on the other side of the glass, who are actors, you know, were getting the lessons or the answers wrong. And so the subject would press the button and the person would fake, you know, a little shock. And what they found after all of these tests, person after person, is that about two-thirds of people willingly obeyed the authority of someone else, even when it made them uncomfortable, even when they knew their actions were causing harm. Two-thirds of humanity. We're no different here. Two-thirds of us might have pressed that button because the authority said to do it. If we are following the wrong thing or the wrong person, we will never realize the fruitfulness of life that God intends for us. And it's still happening, this evil. Just this last week, I guess I've been blessed that I hadn't heard the phrase ISIS in so long, but just this week, I heard again about ISIS bombs. We know that there are gangs, there are terrorist groups out there that are continuing to recruit, and people are following along. The mafia, the mob, and the question is, are you going to follow the Godfather, or are you going to follow God the Father? Which will it be? Now, you may be sitting right where you are and say, "Oh, Pastor Matt, don't worry about me. I'm no follower. I am a blaze setter. My own trail. I'm just going to go along and along and along." But don't fool yourself. You're all following someone. And if we're following the wrong thing or the wrong person, we're never going to know the fruitfulness of life. Going back to social media, all these little posts, and I came across one that I think really speaks to what I'm trying to say here. If you allow I to be misguided, a trail can quickly become a trial. If you allow I to be misguided, a trail can quickly turn into a trial. Now, we know that our ability to follow social clues helps us fit in, helps us to succeed, helps us to survive. When everyone's doing something, we oftentimes, though, falsely assume that there's a good reason and we follow along. But we need to remember there is this danger that there are people out there who will lead us astray. There are people who seek to lead us away from God, to lead us away from godliness, to lead us away from a spiritual journey that is pure. People who, if we follow them, they're going to wound our spirit. And this is not new. And sometimes they even come in the name of God. Jeremiah, long before Jesus was there, there were these false prophets. And Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 23, 21, and 22 in the New Living Translation, "I have not sent these prophets, yet they run around claiming to speak for me. I have given them no message, yet they go on prophesying. If they had stood before me and listened to me, they would have spoken my words, and they would have turned my people from their evil ways and deeds." There are people who lead us astray, and Jesus has a name for them. Do we remember what Jesus called them, these false prophets? He called them ravenous wolves. Ravenous wolves. And if you do a Bible search on wolves, seven times wolves are spoken of in the scripture, and never once is it in a positive fashion. They are always danger. They are always one who is going to bring about harm. And we think of these wolves in our lives that maybe lead us astray, and we say, if only they were obvious. If only these people who are in the manner of a wolf going to lead us astray, if only they would come snarling and so with frothing teeth so that we could see how dangerous they were, but they don't. The ravenous wolves that come to lead us astray come with titles. They come with positions. They come with importance, or they come with celebrity. Celebrity. How many people fall into the trap of idolizing a lifestyle of the rich and the famous? I had a meeting in my office this week with one of our members, and she was telling me something about this shift in society, about the wealthy in our society, the wealthy that many want to be like. And I had to Google it to make sure that she was factually telling me the right thing. And I came across Dave Ramsey. And Dave Ramsey is the one who developed and kind of leads the Christian-based Financial Peace University. And we offer financial peace here at the United Methodist Church of Whitefish Bay. And he said, you know what the most popular car for the quote-unquote wealthy is in our country right now? And you may think of all kinds of things, but you may be surprised to know that it's a F-150 pickup truck or a Toyota Prius. And yet, the people who desperately want to be seen as wealthy are following that lie. And they drive the luxury car. As Peace said last night after listening to the sermon, he said, yes, your spending reveals what you are chasing after. The way in which you use your resources shows what you're really following in life. Now, not all of these false prophets, these ravenous wolves, not all these false prophets actually see themselves as a false prophet. Actually, almost none of them do, but their message is almost always of self-interest for their own gain or for their own prestige or to transmit their own ideas. And prophets in the Bible are something altogether different. When God raised up a prophet in the Bible, their words were never their own words. They were always speaking the words that God gave to them for God's people. Sometimes they were difficult words, but quite often they were words of love and comfort and vision and peace of moving forward together. Many of the voices that we are exposed to in our world right now have nothing, they don't even have any knowledge of the voice of God. And they're led astray. Paul was writing to this church in Corinth, and in 2 Corinthians 4, 4 through 6, he says, the God of this age, the God with the lower G, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we preach, what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as servants. For God said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge and glory displayed in the face of Christ. And so Jesus makes it clear, make sure that the one that you're following has evidence of the fruit. Are you following someone and when you look at them, you can see the love, you can experience and feel their joy, you can sense their peace, you know that they are patient and kind and generous, that they are filled with faith and self-control, all of these qualities. Well, ravenous wolves, Jesus called them. And so I further looked up something about wolves, and I found out that wolves are opportunists. They test their prey, sensing weakness or vulnerability through visual clues, even through hearing and scent. Wolves are not ambush predators that rely on the element of surprise and a short, intense burst of violence and rage. No, wolves track their prey. They chase their prey, oftentimes over long distances, sometimes even a few miles, to find the right animal at the right opportunity. They are relentless. Relentless. The forces of evil are relentless. Jesus was led out into the desert, and he was tempted, and he, because he knew his scripture, because he knew who he was, the adversary, HaSatan, was beaten, but didn't give up. The scripture lets us know the devil went away to wait for a more opportune time. And if you think that the forces of evil, the adversary, isn't going to give up on God, but will give up on you, you got another thing coming. Another thing coming. The right animal for wolves to take down is most often the one that is wounded or that is separated from the rest. And so, friends, we are most susceptible when we are wounded or when we are separated from the West. But the good news is, our church family, look around and look at one another, our church family can protect us. Our Christian fellowship comes to our rescue. It is Jesus who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, whoever follows this Jesus will never walk in darkness. It's not going to be easy. The way's hard, but they'll never walk in darkness, but will have the light of the life. And so, friends, our church can protect us, but only if our church is being and doing what a church should be and do. And what is that? Bear fruit. Bear fruit for the glory of the kingdom of God. And so what we preach here is not ourselves, as Paul said, but Jesus Christ. Let light shine out of darkness. Made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, let light shine out of the darkness. Choose to follow. Choose to live in the light and love of God, and your life will be fruitful. Follow wisely. As Paul says in Corinthians 15:57, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And my final words in this sermon are from 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. And so, church, as we worship together as one family this day, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and who makes known through us the fragrance that consists of the knowledge of him in every place. Thanks be to God. Amen.